Good afternoon. If you hear the hum in the background, that's my air conditioner because I'm upstairs. And we have central heat downstairs and air, but upstairs it's just the wall unit. So it's unbearable if I don't run the air. And this is where my recording instruments are. So I apologize for that. Let's see, this is Saturday, July 5th. Yesterday, of course, was Independence Day for us in the United States. And I guess next year will be our 250th year. We, however, are studying again this book, The Infinite Way, by Joel Goldsmith. And my copy is the little black book that was published by Willing Publishing Company in San Gabriel, California. And I used to live in San Gabriel, California. This chapter is called The New Horizon, and it's a chapter that must be studied, taken into meditation, maybe a sentence at a time, because in this chapter lies the entire secret of the infinite way. Now, I suggest you read at home, you read maybe a paragraph at most, and that's enough. There's so much in the paragraph that it'll take you many months to get through it. In this first paragraph, there are three musts. You say there are no musts. Oh, yes, there is. Now, this chapter was not written by Joel. It was received by Joel from Christ consciousness. He was awakened in the middle of the night, and at the foot of his bed was a giant scroll that unrolled and revealed this chapter. And if I remember correctly, the letters were in gold, old English fonts. And so it was quite a production. And Joel copied the entire thing down. Thank you, Joel. Oh, my God, thank you. And it was put at the back of this book. I don't believe it was in here originally. Anyway, The New Horizon. It begins with this. The sense, which presents pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is the universal mesmerism which produces the entire dream of human existence. Now here we have discord, inharmony, disease and death is a universal hypnotism which produces the entire dream of human existence. That means human existence is a dream. Everything that you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is a dream. You're dreaming. Wake up. Now, the dream is not out here. So don't look out here at all these people, places, and things and say, oh, well, that's a dream out there. Because it's not out there. The dream is within you. The dream is in the mortal mind. The hypnotism, the mesmerism of the mortal mind. And it is inside you. Says Joel, no illusion is ever externalized. And that's why you can awaken. Because within you is the entire work. If you practice the principles, if you take these musts and apply them, you will begin to awaken from the dream. You will see changes out here. But they're not changes out here. They're changes within you, within your perception, so that you begin to awaken from this mesmerism which has held us in its grip for centuries. So here's the first must. It must be understood that there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. Now I know many of us come into this work and someone tells us they have a problem. Could you please pray for me? And we say yes. We attain the silence. We listen. We don't think much of it, but a day or two later, the person says, oh, everything's okay now. The headache has gone away. My pain has disappeared. My finances have improved. And we all kind of say, oh, good. But listen, he just said, you must come to understand there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant conditions. And so that improvement that we think we see is just a shift in this inner illusion, inner mesmerism. Now the mesmerism is not looking bad. The mesmerism is looking good. It's still mesmerism. That's not the goal. The goal is to awaken. Here's the second must. It must be realized that the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion. Now that's not a maybe or could be. It's must. It must be realized. Where? Within yourself. You don't tell anybody you're doing this. You don't tell anybody that you're working on this. You can tell your teacher if you have one, because your teacher will understand and hand it gently back to you. But if you tell an average person, even if they agree, there's something in their eyes that says they think you've gone off the deep end. Or it sounds good, but not very practical. Remember, this wasn't Joel. It's not Bill. This is the living Christ come down into expression, telling you it must be realized. The entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion. And here's the next must. We must rise above the desire for even good human conditions. You see, that's a must. He says later, we don't make any progress until we rise above the desire for good. Understand fully that suggestion, belief, hypnotism is the substance or fabric of the whole mortal universe. Okay, so mesmerism is the fabric of everything you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Now, I can tell you that in the beginning, you will not come into a new awareness with your eyes open. It starts in your meditation. If you can say or think enough to yourself so that you calm down and become quiet and listening, you, if you realize that everything you're seeing is illusion, you will come to the place where something will snap, and for an instant you will see a different reality. In your meditation, you may feel what feels like another presence. You may feel a oneness with everything that is. You may hear a voice that says, "Be not afraid, it is I." Some people smell flowers, perfume. Others at times hear music, which is not from earth. But in one way or another, you will have a glimpse of reality. It lasts but a second or two, maybe a minute. It can last for days, but usually in the beginning it's only a glimpse. So understand fully that suggestion, belief, hypnotism is the substance or fabric of the whole mortal universe, and human conditions, both good and evil, are dream pictures having no reality or permanence. And so if you understand that fully, you're definitely on the way. Now, this can't be toyed with. It can't be joked about. This must be taken seriously, as if your life depended on it, because it does. Your spiritual life depends upon your awakening. Be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. Now, as you quiet the senses, as you still the senses, you will come to know there really is another universe, and there's another self in that universe. Above this sense life, there is a universe of spirit governed by love, peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. This world is real and permanent. Its substance is eternal consciousness. In it there is no awareness of discords and no awareness of temporary material good. And so there's a universe in which there is no evil and no good. Well, how do you become aware of it? How do you shut off or shut down the senses so that you may behold reality? The first glimpse of reality, of the soul realm, comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporal conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism. The realization that the entire human scene, all of it, its good as well as its evil, is illusion, comes the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and of the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. So, with your inside realization that the entire human scene, everything you behold, is illusion, with that realization and the shock of it, it causes the mind to be completely still and silent, that will result in your glimpsing this spiritual kingdom. You will come into your first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and of the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual creation. Now, in this moment of uplifted consciousness, we are able, only even though faintly, to see ourselves free of material, mortal, human, even legal laws. We behold ourselves separate and apart from the bondage of sense, and in a measure we glimpse the unlimited boundaries of eternal life and infinite consciousness. The fetters of finite existence begin to fall away. The price tags start to disappear. This happens first in your meditation, or your meditations. You come into this feeling of an undiscovered country, a new realm. And we slowly learn to catch these glimpses and are no longer startled. In fact, we come to look forward to them. Because not only is there freedom, but there's joy, gratitude, love, all in this realm within. You may find that one of these fine mornings, you get up from your meditation and it doesn't subside. You walk out to your car and you're still feeling this new horizon, this new dimension. It may startle you as you wonder, how am I going to drive my car to work and act normal when I'm feeling all this? I asked Herb Fitch one time, how do I feel this spiritual dimension and do a decent job at work, which requires concentration? Well, he said that the adjustment would be made. And he was correct. You learn to live in two worlds at the same time. It's really quite wonderful. You have this inner secret that you can't tell anyone. Sometimes I wonder why you're smiling. We no longer dwell in thought on human happiness or human prosperity, nor is there any longer concern about health or home. The wider, grander view is coming into focus. The freedom of divine being is becoming apparent. Yes, we learn that we are never alone. There is this inner dimension, and in it there is an infinite presence, and it is always with us. Oh, sometimes we forget it for a few days. Sometimes Joel used to get somewhat anxious. You can read it in his writings, particularly his autobiography, when he says things to God like, come on, don't stay away, where are you? And then all of a sudden he's walking in the presence again. So you may find too that the periods of being without this presence are getting shorter and shorter. You will find that in some circumstances it takes over and you are happy to let go and let this presence live itself. What a wonderful way to live. The experience at first is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. Remember, the world he's referring to is the mesmeric world that you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. That world drops down from before us. over a horizon. There is no attachment to this world anymore. No desire to hold on to it. Probably because, to a great extent, this experience does not come to you until a great measure of your desire for the things of this world has been overcome. And so he repeats that over and over. If you desire good or you desire evil, you desire something of this world, the dream world. If you don't desire anything except to be with this wonderful presence, then you are on the right track, and you are ready to receive it. At first, we cannot speak of it. There is a sense of, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended. I am still between the two worlds. Do not touch me or make me speak of it, because it may drag me back. Let me be free to rise. Then, when I am completely free of the mesmerism and its pictures, I will tell you of many things which eyes have not seen nor ears heard. There is a painting, and I don't even know who did it, but in the painting there's a man who is looking over, well, he's standing on a hillside looking into another dimension. And I am reminded of that, because it's such a perfect symbol for what happens. And so understand, a universal illusion binds us to Earth, to temporal conditions. Realize this. Understand this. Because only through this understanding can we begin to lessen its hold upon us. That's what we want to do. We want to lessen the hold of the mesmeric universe so that we can see the world of God's creating. We can see the inner dimension of spirit. And we can learn to function there. And so your understanding that everything you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is a universal illusion, your understanding that and realizing that will help you to begin to lessen its hold upon you so that you may see correctly. The more fascinated we are with conditions of human good, the greater our desire for even the good things of the flesh, the more intense is the illusion. Please don't think that this is a moral issue. Somehow, if you're good enough and you don't have any of these sins, you'll be okay. That's an incorrect view. It has nothing to do with it. The only problem is, if you desire, well, I'm a normal guy. Let's say that I desire a woman. Or let's say that I desire a Lamborghini or a Ferrari. Or let's say that I desire normal things like a house a savings, enough money that I can take the family on vacation. What's wrong with that? Isn't that the so-called American dream? They named it apropos, didn't they? American Dream. Yes, that is the American dream. But now let's awaken from our dream, shall we? And while you're dreaming of being fulfilled on the human plane, your thought is not in spirit. It's in changing material bad to material good, or material limitation into material abundance. However, in proportion as our thought dwells on God, on the things of the Spirit, the greater freedom from limitation we are gaining. Now here's another must. Think neither on the discords nor on the harmonies of this world. Now there's your clue. Look at your thinking. Check it 2 or 3 times a day. Are you thinking about the discords or the harmonies of this world? Then you are thinking of the mesmerism, which is only internal. So let us not fear the evil, nor love the good of human existence. In proportion as we accomplish this, is the mesmeric influence lessening in our experience. Earth ties begin to disappear. Shackles of limitation fall away. Erroneous conditions give place to spiritual harmony. Death gives way to eternal life. Now when does all this happen? When you train yourself to think neither on the discords nor on the harmonies of this world. When you do not fear evil or love good of human existence. In proportion as you accomplish that, the mesmeric influence is lessening in your experience. Now, the thought that comes up is, am I not to have these good things? Is it wrong to have a house with a swimming pool? Is it wrong to have a Mercedes-Benz? Is it wrong to buy my clothes at Saks Fifth Avenue instead of Macy's? What happens to all the good things if I'm not to have my thinking about them? And Joel has answered this in several places. Yes, I suppose you are entitled to these good things. But just remember the source. Just remember the source. If it's your hard work and effort and thinking about these things that brought them to you, one day that won't be enough. And they will fade and fade. But if you're living this way, walking in the kingdom consciously, not telling anyone what you are doing, then the source is the grace of God, because you didn't seek any of them. that came to you. And so remember the source. This is the grace of God. The first glimpse into the heaven of here and now is the beginning of the ascension for us. Elsewhere he says, the ascension is always the same, rising above the mind, which is the mesmerism. The human mind is the mesmerism, the arm of the mesmerism. The mind which was in Christ Jesus is that which operates as your glimpsing heaven here and now within you. This ascension is understood now as a rising above the conditions and experiences of this world. Now, when you rise above the experiences of this world and conditions, you are rising out of the belief in good and evil. Now, isn't that how we got into this mess in the first place? We ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we put that mantle on and walked with it ever since. Sometimes have a good life, sometimes have an evil life. Sometimes have a healthy life, sometimes have a sickly life. Always longing. Longing. When I was young, I used to visualize the ascension as someone that ascended out of this world into Christ consciousness. And I saw, or sort of thought of, the masters as the ascended masters. But now I've been on this path for quite some time, and I've come to see the ascension is within yourself. You ascend out of the mesmerism which has held you captive. Hypnotic. You ascend over that which you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. You ascend into the consciousness of the everywhere self. I am omnipresence, and that I is you. And so you can say that to yourself. I am omnipresence, never born, never dying. Just is. We no longer dwell in thought on human happiness or human prosperity, nor is there any longer concern about health or home. The wider, grander view is coming into focus. The freedom of divine being is becoming apparent, and so you are becoming aware of your own divine being. And so the first glimpse into the heaven of here and now is the beginning of the ascension for us. This ascension is understood now as a rising above the conditions and experiences of this world, and we behold the many mansions prepared for us in spiritual consciousness, in the awareness of reality, and these were prepared for us before the world was, because the world was a hypnotic, mesmeric sense world. But now we are rising out of that. It may be slowly, it may be rapidly. The glimpse may last for a second. It may only be a feeling. The glimpse may last for a week or even a month. Now we are not bound by evidence of the senses, of the physical senses. We are not limited to the visible supply. We are not circumscribed by visible bonds or bounds. We are not tied by visible concepts of time or space. And wasn't it in one of the wisdoms that he said, if it takes place in time or space, we must look deeper? We are not tied to visible concepts of time or space. Our good is flowing from the infinite invisible realm of spirit, soul, to our immediate apprehension. You see, when you take thought off of this world, off of good and evil, and when you place it within, recognizing that everything for your fulfillment flows from spirit or soul to your immediate apprehension, well, then you know. You're living in a different kingdom. You're living in a different realm. You're living in a different world. So let us not judge of our good by the sensible evidence. So you don't judge what you have or what you've been given or the grace of God by sensible evidence. Oh, my friends, go within. Let the Spirit tell you what the grace of God is, and let it reveal it to you. You walk without seeking. You walk in quietness, in quiet contemplation of the Spirit and its grace. Out of the tremendous resources of our soul comes the instant awareness of all that we can utilize for abundant living. No good thing is withheld from us as we look above the physical evidence to the great invisible. That's what we are to be doing in our day-to-day affairs. We have these short meditations for 2 or 3 minutes, from 12 to 30 a day. We look up above the physical evidence to the great invisible. Look up. Look up. The kingdom of heaven the great invisible is at hand. So, just so you don't forget, you must understand there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. You must realize the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion, and you must rise above the desire for good human conditions. I am breaking the sense of limitation for you as an evidence of my presence and of my influence in your experience. I, the eye of you, am in the midst of you, revealing the harmony and infinity of spiritual existence, this new dimension, this new horizon. I, the I of you, never a personal sense of I, and never a person, but the I of you, am ever with you. Look up. So, now we know we are not trying to bring about a healing. We are trying to allow the veil to be lifted. You let the spirit lift the veil. And so if there's a healing, someone reaches out to your consciousness and they experience a healing, you know within yourself that you had nothing to do with any healing. You simply let go and became receptive to spirit, which brings the glimpse into the heaven of here and now. And it's the glimpse that you are grateful for. The healing is just an added thing. You weren't going after that. You were becoming receptive to spiritual consciousness. I can't tell you how important this little chapter is. What is it, 4 pages? This was received directly from Christ. Joel jotted it down. He saw this scroll at the end of his bed in gold lettering, the chapter, The New Horizon. He copied it word for word. This is the message. This is the way. This is the infinite way. And so I invite you to become a peculiar person, because I assure you, as you walk around your everyday life, but no longer walking in the mesmerism of good or evil, or trying to change evil into good, but simply walking in this new horizon, this new dimension, the soul realm, you will have many new and different experiences, which will tell you you are walking in the right path. And so I invite you to join me. Join me. We can experience this ascension over the mesmeric of this world, mesmerism of this world. But we have to do it individually. No one can do it for you. No one can do it for me. Individually, we must come into this ascension. I can also tell you that this time on earth is the time to do this. We have many helping souls, helping hands in the invisible. And when you take this seriously and say to yourself, well, I better get serious about this, these invisible hands will come to your aid and help lift you. This is a fellowship of the Spirit, and those that have gone before us are helping us. And we, in our turn, will turn around and help others. This is the way to Christ consciousness on earth as it is in heaven. Now let us be still in case there is something else that needs to be said. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. All that the Father has is mine. All that the Father knows is mine. Rest here. Grace is a free gift with no price tag whatsoever. A free gift. And so, of course, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And thank you, everyone, for drawing this forth. I deeply appreciate it. I've been over this chapter so many times that you would think I had it memorized, but I don't. But each time I look at it, especially with you, I see new things. And so thank you. God bless you. The strength that you think you need will come from within. You won't have to ask. You will receive it from within. Again, don't tell anybody you're doing this unless you have a teacher. You can tell your teacher, because the teacher won't steer you wrong. And will appreciate that which you are doing, really dying daily. Okay, we'll meet again here next week for the New Jerusalem, another fabulous chapter. Until then, God bless.